Well, we're just so glad to see everybody here tonight. I would like to share some things with you out of the Word of God. And then we look forward to here just in a few moments. We look forward to calling up our veterans and our first responders. We want to honor you here tonight. We've got a gift for you, and we're going to get to that here in just a short bit. But again, thank you for everybody for being here, especially for those that we're honoring. We're just so glad to have you. Are you ready for the Word of God here tonight, church? Well, I'm going to turn in my Bible. I'm going to go over to John chapter 15. And tonight we're going to talk about sacrifice, the greatest level of love. Sacrifice. Amen. And we're going to get to John chapter 15 here in just a moment. You know, I come from a long line, many family members that served in the military, also some that served in law enforcement and so on. My dad, you know, he served in the United States Navy. And he served aboard the aircraft carrier, the USS John F. Kennedy. My brother served in the U.S. Air Force. An uncle on my mother's side served in the United States Army during Vietnam. He was military police, which was a very dangerous position during the Vietnam War. Another uncle on my mother's side is a lifelong police officer. An uncle on my dad's side served in the United States Navy and served aboard a submarine. And his submarine went under the polar ice cap in the North Pole. And he was under, you know, they were submerged for many weeks at a time. Pretty interesting way to serve our country. Two uncles on my wife's side were both combat veterans during the Vietnam War. My wife's grandfather, Quentin Young, he served during the Korean War in the United States Army. My grandfather on my mom's side, Theodore Johnson, he was a decorated World War II combat veteran. He received a Bronze Star for bravery. Also, he was a Purple Heart recipient because he had shrapnel in his leg that he received during the Battle of the Bulge near the Rhine River in Germany. My dad's dad, Harry Stallman, he was captured by the Nazis during World War II. He also was a decorated World War II combat veteran. He was captured. He was held for many months in a Nazi prison camp. They starved him within nearly an inch of his life. When he went into the prison camp, he was nearly my size. He was 6 feet tall, about 185 pounds. I used to be 185 pounds, but I've now surpassed. I've surpassed Grandpa's fit army status. But Grandpa, when he was released, when he was liberated out of that camp, he weighed less than 100 pounds. As a 6 foot tall man, he was 98 pounds, and in that weakened state, he had to hike across the nation of Poland once he was liberated. And then just 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago, my first cousin, Staff Sergeant Benjamin Hines, a member of the United States Marine Corps, he gave the ultimate sacrifice when he was killed near Bagram Air Force Base in Afghanistan on April 8th. Of 2019. He used the Humvee vehicle that he was driving. He and two other Marines that were in that vehicle, they spotted a suspected car bomber. They used their Humvee to intercept that car bomber that was attempting to attack a much larger convoy. They intercepted that car bomb. It detonated on impact, and my first cousin was killed instantly, along with two other brave Marines in that vehicle. That was his third tour in Afghanistan, and he was there on volunteer basis. He did not have to go, but my cousin volunteered. He was 31 years old. He was my little cousin. And so, you know, my family, you know, knows and understands the courage, you know, and the sacrifice that it takes. Amen. For those of you that serve, and also for our first responders, the courage and the bravery that it takes to serve our nation and our community. Everyone that we're here to honor here tonight, you have undergone special training. You have worked long hours, given up personal interests. Yes, time with family. Many have traveled to faraway lands, and many of you were required to step up during very difficult circumstances at times and situations, all in order to protect, to serve, and to keep safe people right here in our community. People all around you, you sacrificed, you have given. And now it reminds me of a very important verse in the Bible. Have you found John chapter 15? We're going to bring it up on the screen for you. If you'll notice, for those of you that have your Bibles here tonight, the words in your Bible might be red. And when the words are red in a Bible, that indicates what? Jesus himself is speaking. So these are the very words of Jesus. And he says, starting in verse 12, he says, "This is my commandment." All right, that's not a suggestion. He says in verse 12, he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Verse 13, he says, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends." All the sacrifice, all the courage that it takes to serve in these different positions, whether in the military or whether in our community, I'll tell you what, there is no love greater than when someone will lay down their life for their friends. Now, that doesn't even mean that you have to die doing it, but just laying down your personal interests, laying down, setting aside that time, you know, all the training that it took, all the hard work that it has taken, that would certainly be included. But notice up there in verse 12, Jesus gives us a commandment. He says, "I command you to love one another." But notice he didn't just stop there. He told us how to love one another. He said that we would love one another as I have loved you. You know, yes, when it comes to walking in love, you know, kindness is included. You know, being good, treating people right, patience is included. But how many of you know, how did Jesus decide to love us? Did we, as sinners before we knew Christ, did we produce any good feelings in God? As you know, did we give him any real reason to love us? The Bible tells us over there in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it says that God demonstrated his love for us, that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died or sacrificed himself for us. Even when we were lost in our sins, even when we had failed God's righteous standard, there wasn't anything good that gave God a good feeling about us, but he still gave us Jesus anyway. Amen. And the love that God has for us is a sacrificial love. Amen. Jesus went to that cross. He was sacrificed on that cross for you and for me. Sacrifice is the highest form of love. We are told so much by the world around us that we will be happiest if we just gather everything up for ourselves. We're told that if we just, you know, hold on to everything and just work for ourselves, do everything for ourselves, that will make us the happiest in this life. But folks, I'm here to tell you the truth. What will produce the greatest joy in our lives is serving other people. I guarantee you, when we stop trying to bring everything to us and we start reaching out and serving others, like so many of you have tonight, right? When you do that, I guarantee you that the joy of the Lord will start moving into your life, because there is no greater love than this, that someone would be sacrificial for others. Yeah. You know, what would happen if we started to all walk in a greater level of sacrifice? What if we started sacrificing a little bit more time in our lives to do things like this? You know, what about being in church a little bit more? You know, what about, you know, serving in a church, or maybe giving your time in church, or helping with your resources and things like that? I'll tell you what, when we start to serve one another in the local church, that's a great place to sacrifice for one another. I guarantee that the joy of the Lord would become more evident in our lives. What makes a Christian a great Christian? Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Folks, I'm here to tell you, you know, to follow God in this life isn't always easy. There's a lot of sacrifice that goes into doing what God's word tells us to do. But I'm here to tell you, the Lord will reward us greater than this world will ever reward us. Folks, I encourage you. I encourage myself. There's more we can do to sacrifice in order to put God first. Amen. I truly believe that God's joy would move into our life. You know, what makes a marriage a great marriage? What if we sacrificed more for our spouses? What if we started to prefer them above ourselves a little bit more in our lives? I believe that the joy of the Lord would move into our lives. What makes a great spouse? Sacrifice, right? What makes a great soldier? Sacrifice. What makes a great EMT or a firefighter or a police officer? Sacrifice. Amen. What makes a great parent? Sacrifice. What's going to make somebody a little bit better of an employee? Sacrifice. When we start to become people of sacrifice. And so now let's ask this question. What makes a great Savior? Sacrifice. The love of Jesus Christ is a sacrificial love. And I want to show you this in the Bible. Go over to Matthew chapter 27. And we're going to look at one more passage here before we get ready to pay tribute to those that have served. We're excited. We have a gift for you here tonight. For those that are going to be honored, we do have a $50 gas card that the church has raised that money to be a blessing to you. Because you keep us going in this life, we're going to help keep you going. And we know with so many things getting more expensive, you know, we used to be able to say, well, that's going to get you a tank of gas. Well, I don't know if that even gets you a tank of gas anymore. We'll get you above that halfway point, hopefully. Amen. We'll get you to work. We'll keep you going for maybe this week. Depends how big the engine in your car is, right? Praise the Lord. Go to Matthew 27 and look at verse 45. You know, sometimes, folks, when we think of the cross, we think of Jesus hanging on that cross. Many of us are familiar with the brutality that Jesus faced, you know, when he went to that cross. We are familiar that, of course, he had nails pounded through his hands. He had nails pounded through his feet. They took a spear and they thrust it into his side when he was hanging on that cross. We know that before he even was nailed to that cross, he was beaten brutally. The Bible actually says that Jesus was beaten so brutally, you could barely recognize him as a human being. It was a very, very brutal crucifixion. And remember, the cross was just a place where criminals were executed under the Roman Empire. Jesus wasn't the only one to ever go to a cross. You know, history indicates that upwards of around 40,000 people were crucified on crosses in the Roman Empire. But Jesus's was especially brutal because he called himself Lord, and they, of course, took that out on him very strongly. They pressed a crown of thorns into his head. Of course, he was nailed and he was stabbed with that spear, you know, and it was a very brutal scene. But I'm here to tell you what Jesus experienced on the cross itself, beyond just the natural human suffering. He suffered something so far worse that seldom that we think about or are reminded of when we think of Jesus on that cross. Look at Matthew 27 and verse 45. This is when Jesus is on the cross. Jesus says something very important that so often we don't really think about. This is Matthew chapter 27 and verse 45. It says, now from the sixth hour, this is Jesus was already on the cross, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Let me explain what that means. The sixth hour is what we call noon, 12 o'clock noon in the middle of the day, right? And of course, the ninth hour is just 3 hours later. And so that would be our 3 p.m. All right. And the scripture tells us that while Jesus was on the cross, Jesus was only on that cross for about 3 hours. Now, the typical crucifixion lasted days. But remember, You know, the Bible says that they were going, you know, Passover was coming and they didn't want anybody hanging on the cross. And there were two thieves that were being crucified with Jesus next to him. Remember, they came and they broke their legs so that they would die faster. Remember that? But with Jesus, he was already gone. And there's a reason why Jesus died in 3 hours. And I'm going to show you this. Look what Jesus says in verse 46. It says, in about the ninth hour, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the last hour of Jesus' time on the cross, Jesus cried or shouted with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is translated to mean, my God, why have you forsaken me? Everyone say forsaken. Forsaken. That is a powerful statement. So right before Jesus died on that cross, he says these words. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Here is the greatest sacrifice, the most brutal part of Jesus' sacrifice when he was on that cross. He was separated from his heavenly Father for the very first time ever in his existence. All of a sudden, Jesus realized something had happened. God the Father had turned his back upon Jesus Christ, and Jesus felt the hopelessness or the doom of being forsaken by God. And it surprised him on the cross. And all of a sudden, Jesus realized, my heavenly Father's gone. He's forsaken me. He's left me. And I'm brutally all on my own for the first time ever in all of eternity. Jesus was without his heavenly Father. Why at that moment did God the Father turn his back on the perfect sinless man? Because the Bible says on that cross, what happened was all the sins that I committed, all the sins that you've committed, all the sins of everybody driving on this busy street in front of the church tonight, every sin of every human being in the earth, every rotten thing that any human being has ever done was placed on Jesus Christ. And God forsook Jesus, turned his back on Jesus as if Jesus had committed those sins himself, because God the Father was forsaking Jesus Christ at that moment so he would not have to forsake you and I. At that moment, Jesus went through the hopelessness and the doom anyone would feel and face if all of a sudden they were standing before God and God rejected them. Imagine God rejecting you for eternity. Folks, I'm here to tell you, I say, oh my goodness, this is getting heavy here. Well, I'm here to tell you, the good news is that Jesus went through that rejection so that you and I won't have to go through that rejection. This is the good news of the gospel. Jesus was doing all of this for us so that we would never know what this is like. He sacrificed himself so we would never know the weight of God turning away from us. Yes. See, folks, I'm going to tell you the truth. Hell is a real place. But hell isn't just a place that God designed just for punishment. It wasn't about that. Hell is just the result of what happens when mankind is separated from their Creator. God the Father knew that our sins would separate us from himself. And he wanted to do everything in his power to make sure that we would never know that level of rejection, that we would never know what it's like for God to forsake us. And so he made this plan to send his son in our place. It would be like the equivalent if we were sentenced to death and we were placed on death row and it was time for our execution. And then somebody walks down the hall and opens the cell door and said, you've been freed. And you'd say, oh my goodness, that's great. You know, you step out of that cell and that person who opens the door then steps in and locks themselves in it. And you say, whoa, what are you doing? They say, well, you know, you're freed, but I have to be executed in your place. And you'd say, wait a minute, no, that's not fair. You don't deserve it. You would say, I deserve that. But see, that's what Jesus did for us. That's the grace and the love of God, that he took our place instead. And this is why the Bible then says this. Can you bring up Romans 10:9? Folks, whether you live to be 80 or 90 or 120 or 190, we don't have anybody here that old here tonight, do we? I mean, I don't believe anybody's ever reached that age in modern times. But we know this, regardless of how long you live on this earth, it's going to go very fast. Has anybody realized that yet? Is life going by quick? It is going by quick. I tell you what, I was 25 yesterday, and I'm not 25 anymore, right? And here's why. This is what Jesus did. It says that if you shall confess. That word confess here is not talking about sitting down with a minister and telling him all the wrongs that you've done. The word confess here means to simply to speak it or to declare it like you believe it. Yeah. Or you could say it this way, to say it like you mean it, yeah. Or to be sincere. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, or literally we would say this, Jesus is Lord. If we will, in faith, say that Jesus is Lord, and if we'll believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And here's the good news. After Jesus went through that rejection, 3 days later, he rose again from the dead, and it has shook the world for the last 2,000 years. It is absolutely been the biggest moment in all of Earth's history. And the Bible says that if you will put your faith in Christ, that doesn't mean you have to come to Family Church. Family Church does not have a corner on salvation, right? Meaning we don't own it. We're not the ones that, thought of it or anything like that. Of course, I would encourage everybody to find a good Bible teaching church. We've got many great ones in this community. Go find one. And if you want to be here, we'd love to have you here. But it says this. It says, God raised him from the dead, so that you shall be saved. Folks, I was 23 years old when I gave my life to Christ. And I don't need to go through all my testimony. I was living hard, partying, drinking hard, drugging hard, all that stuff. And I came to a realization, in my life that I needed Jesus. I needed my sins to be washed. I needed to be forgiven. And it was on January 10th. Actually, technically, it was the 11th. January 11th of 2002, I had a friend, a good friend that I grew up with. He called me and he said, Tim, I just want to let you know. He said, I know you respect the things of God, but I just want to tell you, he said, I've given my life. Amen. He said, I've given my life to Jesus. He said, I'm not going back. He said, I'm going to serve him. And I know you've always respected the things of God. So I just wanted to tell you, well, to this day, he's now a pastor as well and has been for 15 years, Praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. And so I got off the phone with him. I knew I had been running from God. And right there at 7 West Main Street in Brockton, New York. Does anyone know where Brockton is? Right up the road on Route 20? You know those green arches there in Brockton? I was literally, those green arches were almost, they were right out my window. I could almost reach out and touch them. They were so close. And I was, my wife and I were living above a storefront right there in Brockton. And it was at 7 West Main Street, Brockton, New York, on January 11th of 2002 that I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And you know what? I will never know what it's like for God to forsake me. Because Jesus took the ultimate sacrifice, as bad as the nails in the hands and the crown of thorns and the blood and the beating and everything that he went through. The hardest moment that Jesus faced was being forsaken, the hopelessness of being forsaken by God. He went through that, so you will never stand before God and have him reject you. Romans 10:9 is our part in it. I'm going to believe with my words. I'm going to speak and believe that Jesus is Lord. And I'm going to believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead so that I will never be forsaken by God. Let's go ahead. Can we go ahead and just everybody here in the sanctuary, can we close our eyes, bow our heads, and get ready for prayer? Folks, the good news is Christ went through that moment of doom. He went through that moment of hopelessness. where Jesus experienced what it felt like to be lost from God and there's no way back. God does not want you to ever experience that. Whether you live to be 100 or whether today was your last day on this earth, God wants you to know He does not want to forsake you. The only thing that would make that happen is if we failed to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We don't get saved just because we are sitting in a church. We don't get saved because the name on our door or the denomination or whatever it is. The way we get saved is that we personally put our faith in Jesus and we make it sincere with God. And folks, if you're here tonight and you've never made that decision, I'm going to say this again. I am not going to walk up to you. I am not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to send anyone else over to you. I'm not going to bother you. I'm not going to call you down front. Nothing like that. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. And if you're here tonight and you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, and you know in your heart, you know this is something you need to get right with God, I'm going to let it be between you and God. Like I said, I'm not here to make a spectacle of you. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. The only thing I'm going to ask you to do is take a 3-second step towards God in your heart. If you're here and you say, Pastor, that's me. I want to know that my sins are washed. I want to know that I will never be forsaken by God. I want to put my faith in Jesus. You're not signing up to this church or anything like that. But if that's you, the only thing I'm going to ask you to do is to put your hand in the air, let God see you for 2 or 3 seconds. As soon as I see your hand, you'll hear me say, I see that hand, you can put it down. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to lead us all in a prayer, the whole congregation, eyes closed, head bowed, and right there in your seat, you can invite Jesus into your heart and God will hear you. It's between you and Him. I'm just trying to point you in His direction. But if you're here tonight and you'd like to say, Pastor, that's me. I want to know that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Could you take that 2-second step and just lift that hand right now? Is there anybody here that you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I want to know Jesus is my Lord and Savior. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. And that hand. Thank you. Is there? I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. And that hand. Thank you. And that hand. Thank you. God loves you. God loves you. There is no greater love than laying down your life for somebody else. I truly believe that should be and is the essence of all public service. And Jesus, of course, being the ultimate example. So we had several hands. Is there anybody else? Now that you've seen that I'm not going to make a spectacle of you, you're just letting God see you for a moment, and you're going to pray this prayer in faith here. We'll all be praying. This room's filled with people that have made this decision before. You're not alone. You're surrounded by some wonderful people. Anyone else before we pray that you didn't lift your hand, but you know you just need to? Take that 2-second step of faith and come to God. Is there anybody else before we pray? I see that hand and that hand. You can put them down. God loves you. Is there anybody else? Anybody else before we pray? If you've already raised your hand, you don't need to lift it again. I just want to make sure we don't miss anybody. God loves you. He's so good. Anybody else? Just real quickly. You haven't lifted your hand, but you know you want to. And again, it's the prayer that we're going to pray from our heart that's going to mean the ultimate difference. Even if you're here and you don't quite trust me because, you know, you don't know me and I'm asking you to lift your hand. You know, I get that. You know, you never know what that preacher up there is going to do. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not here to embarrass you. Even if you didn't raise your hand, but you know you need to pray this with all your heart. Let's all pray this together. If you lifted your hand, speak these words out of your heart. You're not praying to, you know, anyone sitting next to you. You're talking just you and God. We're all going to be praying it. Speak these words out of your mouth. Believe them with your heart. God will hear you. Everyone go ahead and pray this with me. Everybody in this place, say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Isn't it wonderful to see people confessing Jesus as their Lord and Savior? I'll tell you what, yeah, that's absolutely right. You're gonna be excited about that. You know, if we can't be excited about that, you know, think about all these football games, which I'm a football fan, you know, Buffalo Bills fan my whole life, and for a lot, oh yeah, woo, yeah. We're feeling good now, but I tell you what, there was a long time we weren't feeling all that great, right? But I see people all over football stadiums, you know, we cheer and we shout over, you know, a millionaire carrying a piece of fake leather over a painted line on fake grass, right? How much more should we be excited about what the Lord is doing? Amen. Praise God. Well, we are just so proud of you. I appreciate everybody that had the courage to step up and to you know, release that faith in Jesus. And I just encourage you, find a good Bible teaching church, get connected, learn the plan that God has for your life. Amen. At this time, we are going to pay tribute to our veterans and our first responders. We have Kelly Vick, our office manager here. She has all of the gift cards, everything ready to go. We have your name, your branch of service, what your rank or your position was or is. We certainly appreciate you big time. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to be handed these cards. I'm going to call out your name. When your name is called, if you could come right up to the front, what we're going to do, we're going to line you up in front of everybody. If we could start by, you know, maybe this side of the sanctuary, we'll start down here, and we have, I don't know, 25 people or so. We'll get everybody called up front, everybody stand, and then we want to honor you and give you a round of applause once everybody is named, their names is called. So we're gonna call you right up. So Kelly, at this time, we're starting right here, praise the Lord. And so, and also too, please have mercy on me with the names, okay? We have many guests here tonight, maybe some folks I'm just meeting for the very first time. And so for some reason, I butcher your name. Forgive me ahead of time. Remember, the blood of Jesus cleanses us, right? All right, praise the Lord. And so we are gonna start out. I'm just gonna call these names, you know, relatively quickly. We got quite a stack here to get to. And remember, we'll just come up, receive your card, head over to this side. Our usher, Reverend Chris Herman, is over here to help you as well. All right, we're gonna start with Mike Parchke, Marine Corps and Navy and the Seabees. We know Mike right here, yes, absolutely. Susan Sayre, Marine Corps, radio operator. Please come forward. Mike, we know you, sir. Susan, wonderful. Ed Hosko, Marine Corps in Vietnam. Wonderful. All right. Thank you, sir. Come on up and join us. We're going to congratulate all you here. Mr. Paul Blakesley, yes, United States Navy, yes, a Navy man, praise the Lord. Arthur Earthman, U.S. Navy, engine man, all right. Mr. Paul, Mr. Arthur, thank you, sir, so much. Robert Kuhneman, we know Mr. Robert, come forward. United States Navy, praise the Lord. I tell you what, we have a lot of Navy folks here tonight, wonderful. And our very own Michael Vick, United States Navy, aviation and ordnance. I know some of you were looking for the famous football player, Michael Vick. Thank you, Mike, so much. Praise the Lord. Chet Carter. Yes, sir. Sergeant Major. Sir, I tell you, I did not know that. 39 years, Sergeant Major. I'll tell you what, I just feel just so honored. And drill sergeant. You are the nicest drill sergeant I have ever met in my life. What a blessing. Scott Getty. Mr. Scott, yes. Army specialist, MP. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Wonderful. Reverend Chris, can you do us a favor and maybe just snag the pulpit out of the way? We're going to have a nice full group up here. And Joni Getty. Yeah, right? Do I have that right? Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. The cursive, is that? Oh, Lonnie. That's an L, not a T. Praise the Lonnie. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much. Ruth Ann. And we all know Ruth Ann. Giamo, United States Army. Wonderful, wonderful. And our very own Reverend Chris Herman, United States Army, a veteran of the Kosovo conflict, correct? Wow, praise the Lord. All right, let's see here. Daniel Huck, Mr. Daniel, Army, Vietnam veteran. Sir, thank you so much. What a blessing. Great to have you here, sir. Wonderful. Rob Miller, United States Army. Wonderful.
Rob.
Awesome. Love you too. All right. Kelly, I'm so sorry. We're living in the day. Cursive has gone the way of the dodo bird. All of a sudden, right. We need to get some Dandelion. This is a former school teacher, right? All right, I need some help with the name there, if you could help.
Rory.
All right, with an R, that's an R. Rory Sawtell, am I saying that right? Yeah, close. Sir, it's an honor to meet you. Great to have you here. I'm sorry, I couldn't read the writing. Army paratrooper. Wow, what a blessing. They got to be brave. My mother's dad that I mentioned earlier, Theodore Johnson, he was a paratrooper with the 17th Airborne in World War II, and then he joined the paraglider division, and really, really brave men that are jumping out of airplanes. That's really impressive. And Ron... Let's see here. Okay, Ron Mahofsky? Mr. Ron Mahofsky, do we have that right? Oh, I'm so sorry, Ron. Ron, we know you. We know you so well. I appreciate you. I'm having a hard time reading the cursive here. Army and police officer. Cuban Missile Crisis veteran. Come on up. Yes. Ron, I'm so sorry. I'm terrible at the last names. Brian Barber, Erie Police Active Duty. Yes. Wonderful. Brian, thank you so much for what you do. An active Erie police officer, what a blessing. Yes. That's a T for Tom Cavado. All right. Tom Cavado, Sergeant, Erie Quebec Unit. Wow, active duty, sir. It is such an honor and a blessing to have you here. Wonderful. I'll tell you what, aren't you just grateful for law enforcement? I am very grateful. Yes, 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 yes. Cannot be grateful enough. Candy, we know Candy. Horn, come on up. Erie Police Officer. Candy, you're awesome. We absolutely love you. Melinda Howe. All right, Deputy Sheriff. Melinda, how did I not know that? That is amazing. I know you. I don't think you have. I don't know if you've ever told me. Deputy Sheriff, that is awesome. Jason Morrell. Jason Morrell. Lieutenant. Sir. Erie Airport Police. Erie PD. Thank you, sir. All right, wonderful. We're gonna donate that in his honor to somebody. Wow, that's awesome. And Ralph Ship. We know Brother Ralph. patrol officer. Brother. All right, down to the last group here. All right. And also, too, I did forget my readers. I don't know, is anybody else beyond the age of 45 where you've learned that you better not leave the house without your readers? Ooh, Dawn Welton, Bell Valley firefighter. Yes. So great to have you. We just love to have all, I mean, EMTs, firefighters, firemen. What a blessing. How awesome. All right. Chris Hies, first responder, fire. Sir, thank you so much. Wonderful, wonderful. And Dave Gill, EMT, firefighter. All right, Dave, so glad to have you here. Nice to meet you. Want to join everybody? Wow, we had an opportunity to fit everybody up front. At this time, folks, will you join me by standing to your feet and honoring these wonderful veterans and first responders? Yes. Thank you, everybody. Wow. And what we want to do is, before we send these wonderful people back to their seats, we want to say some words. Thank you, everybody, for your service. You know, we all are, we have a debt of gratitude to each and every single one of you. Thank you for those that have served this nation in our military. Thank you for those that serve in law enforcement and fire departments, EMTs. I have a good friend in Jamestown who's a dispatcher. I got to see the work that he does and just how difficult your jobs are. And you do all of that for us. We are so grateful. We just love you. We appreciate it. How about one more time, everybody? And before I send you back to your seats, would it be okay if we just have a word of prayer to just speak a blessing over each and every one of these individuals? Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much. First of all, for the sacrifice that you gave in your Son, Jesus Christ, that we don't ever have to be forsaken. And Father, we just bless you, we praise you, and we thank you for each of these individuals that are standing here tonight. Father, we have so much that we owe to them, a debt of gratitude. And so, Lord, we just thank you for their service. We thank you that you've given them the strength and the skill and the ability and the intelligence and the health that they could perform and all the things that they've done for us. Father, we ask you right now that a special blessing, that Lord, that you would place your hand upon each one and bless them for their sacrifice, whether it is current or past or continuing. Father, we thank you that angels go before them. No evil befall them. No plague near their dwelling. Lord, we just give you the praise. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Yes. Thank you, everybody. You can head back to your seats. That would be wonderful. And thank you, everybody, for being so merciful and patient with me when I'm trying to read last names and so on. Wonderful. What we're going to do at this time, if we could all just remain on our feet. Yep, if everyone wants to head back to your seat, we're going to be dismissed here in just a moment. But before we go, what we're going to do is that we're going to take a moment. We're going to honor our nation. Folks, it's unfortunate. Patriotism seems to be at an all-time low in our nation. But I tell you what, we need it. We need to be grateful for this nation. Amen. I don't know about you, I don't see the American flag as a symbol of hate. I see it as a symbol of peace and greatness and freedom. So what we're going to do before we're dismissed and we head over to the reception, let's remain standing. We're going to go ahead and sing America the Beautiful, and then we're going to be dismissed, and then we're going to have our reception.
Spacious skies, for amber waves of grace. majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee.
Lord, thank you for this opportunity to have this service, to honor such wonderful public servants. Father, we just are so grateful. And Lord, as we enter a time of fellowship now, we just pray for the food that we're about to receive. Thank you for the hands that prepared it. Lord, we thank you for meeting every need we have in our lives. We're grateful that you put a roof over our head. We're grateful, Lord God, that we have food to eat. Lord, we are grateful that we have the liberty and freedom in this nation. And Father God, bless our time of fellowship. Bless this food to our bodies. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Everybody, you are free to head on over to the fellowship hall and we will get eating.